Ganesha, the wonderful, adorable Lord of the Universe, the Lord of galaxies and planets, the remover of obstacles, the one who sits deeply in our Muladhara chakra, root chakra, and guides us and removes our obstacles and opens the 21 roads for all possibilities. We ask you to bless us. We ask you for your guidance. We ask you to alleviate our suffering. You are the knower of all and the scribe of the Vedas. Bring into this session today knowledge of the self. Om Ganapata, Yay Namaha. We thank you. Welcome. Hello, everybody. Namaste. My name is Andrea Oliveira, and I'm a karmic intuitive counselor and Ayurveda practitioner. I'm very excited to welcome you to my lecture series on the art and science of readings. We spend time together exploring the various principles and techniques that are used during the five popular divination methodologies, namely face readings, rice divinations, Vedic astrology, Ayurvedic mind and body analysis, and tarot. In this session, we will explore the art and science of Vedic astrology, some of the principles behind it, as well as some of my perspectives on the esoteric and divination qualities of Vedic astrology, signs, and symbols. Of course, there are many experts on this topic, as well as a lot of interest in how Vedic astrology compares to what we may know as Western astrology, which is also actually Eastern in origin. I loved astrology from a very young age. I was raised by five mothers who were constantly amateur astrologers. We grew up looking at the phases of the moon, understanding our sun sign, understanding the compatibilities behind the signs, and very much I grew up learning and exploring all aspects of astrology. Until one day I was walking down the street after a very long day of working in the spa, and I saw this sign said Indian Astrology. I must have been about 17 years old at the time, and I took the name and number, and I showed up, and there he was, this incredible teacher. It was Indian man who was well known and who had taught hundreds and hundreds of the Vedic astrologers across the world, and I got to sit in on a class that changed my life. From then on, he became my guru in astrology and a mentor to me on a daily basis for spiritual teachings. I hold him very dear to my heart, and in this topic I'd love to share with you the different ways that I learned about myself through Vedic astrology, and I'd love to share with you ways that you can explore your own spiritual self, your self-development, and have the most incredible, profound questions about life, about God, and about purpose. Vedic astrology offers us the science of the soul, whereas Western astrology really helps us to learn the science of personality. When we are on a self-discovery journey, we always want to know first about who are we, what are we here to do, and Vedic astrology offers the wonderful science of the soul in terms of its repetitive themes lifetime after lifetime. Western astrology offers us a window of looking at the personality and the characteristics of our nature. And so sometimes I want to go deeper. I'm a person that loves to go deeper and explores the realm of the depth of our soul and our soul consciousness. I love the theme of karma, and Vedic astrology very much focuses on karma. And the characteristics and personality traits are also discovered in Vedic astrology. It offers both, and that's the way the system offers a full integration of a map of your cosmic anatomy, as well as a map of this journey that the soul takes from lifetime after lifetime. And it allows us to see the repetitive themes of those lifetimes. One of the wonderful aspects of Vedic astrology is also this idea that it offers mythology and stories. And there's a spiritual foundation that is rooted in Aboriginal as well as mythological and spiritual archetypes that really help us as a mirror to our personal development. There are many stories of the planets and their characteristics and personalities and how they mirror each and every one of ours, and almost as if they're personality development stories, behavioral development stories, so that we can learn how to develop better character, develop a better nature and attitude and perception about ourselves, the people we love, and the world around us. The esoteric teachings of Vedic astrology are so rooted in all universal systems. So this doesn't necessarily belong to India, as there is such an encompassing knowledge of earth medicine and earth wisdom in it. The foundations are so deep that it offers us a map of this karmic development and personal self-discovery. What are the key questions that get answered by Vedic astrology are usually past life themes and where we want to find our personal qualities and characteristics, our skills. A lot of the themes of past lives comes up, and also questions about career, the skills that we are naturally inherited with, our relationship questions, health questions, the state of our health, times to be cautious and careful about health issues, and also warnings around health and timings for when the health can be more depleted or more affected because of planetary influences. A lot of questions about marriage and when to get married, why we're not getting married, why we're not having the children we want, when are we going to have the children, family and family issues and family questions. Sometimes family inheritance, for example, looking at wills or looking at when family issues are going to be resolved, understanding the past life karmas around family, children, and marriage. Questions about wealth and prosperity, perhaps when is a good time to venture into a new business, a start date for a business opening, or when perhaps to ask for that divorce or get a divorce, or when is a good day to get married, for example. A sale of a house, or putting on a launch or an event, that's very important. So times and dates, and best times and dates for special events and special occasions. All questions related to self-awareness, all questions related to karma, and communication challenges. Vedic signs and their characteristics are so interesting. We know the Aries is the first sign of the zodiac, and it's ruled by Mars. And Aries has a wonderful, fresh, fiery energy to it, quick, sharp tongue. And because it's ruled by Mars, it has that sort of energy of the conqueror, the spiritual warrior, the one that loves to set things forward and pioneer into new territory. Aries always needs to be put first. It's like the child of the zodiac. So it needs to begin its maturation, and its evolution then goes all the way to Pisces so that it gets the maturity of life and then the understanding of life. So the Aries is impetuous, just like Mars, and it's got this fresh, young, childlike energy. So the key thing for Aries, when you go into a reading and you're an Aries ascendant, really try to focus on the question at hand, and also surrender a little bit and not become too passionate or too fired up to get the right answers that you're looking for. Taurus is ruled by Venus, and Venus is such a sensual, loving, encompassing planet that allows the shine of our brilliant artistic nature and sensual nature. Taurus energy is very much about tradition and family and values of family. When you're a Taurus ascendant and you come in for a reading, it's really important to realize that you may want confirmation on what's happening with my family values, my wealth, my position in my society. And so one of the things, or the motto of Taurus, is to have. And so whenever you have something, Taurus, you love it, you want it, but then when you actually get it, you may doubt that you want it. And so you may vacillate between to have and not to have. Whereas Aries, it's all about I am, this I am-ness, and very much wanting to understand the principle of I am. When Gemini comes in for a reading or an assessment, Gemini is always torn between two things, being ruled by the divine twins and the celestial twins. Gemini is very much ruled by the planet Mercury, which is a fast-thinking planet, always wanting that duality of life, always trying to get to the balance of creativity and structure. So Gemini, it's really important to sit down before you come in for a reading and allow yourself to empty out all the pros and cons of making the decisions, and being aware that there's always going to be two questions that you will look for. And when there's two questions, you're always going to be seeking two answers. So give time to yourself to really evaluate what is the priority question that you come in to get the answers for. Cancer, you're ruled by the moon, and the moon is fickle. It changes every 2.5 days in the sky. So you're an emotional being, a watery, sensual being. And because you're ruled by that moon, you have a very lovely, motherly quality to you. When you come in for a reading, try to focus on yourself, because most times Cancers come in looking for how they can help others and how they can best serve others that they love, and they tend to put themselves last. Leo, it is really important for you to understand that you're ruled by the sun, and the sun represents our sole purpose in this world and life. So when you are ruled by the sun, life is all about your sole purpose. Discover what that sole purpose is, understand your soul, and really allow and give yourself permission to follow that life purpose. Virgo, it's very wonderful to come in looking for love and not perfection. When you are Virgo, it is another sign ruled by Mercury. And again, it's fast, it's witty. But one of the things about Virgo energy, it's more earthy than the Gemini. Gemini is more air-like. And so the energy of Virgo is very cautious and very very much associated with trying to seek the right format and skill set, and trying to get the perfect answer to help resolve the issue at hand. Try to lessen that energy, Virgo, by releasing a lot of upper neck and shoulder tension and really getting clear on what you're really asking for, which is how to allow for self-acceptance and love. Libra, also a dual sign, very much ruled by Venus. That's why Libra is very strong in creativity. Of course, we always think of Libra as the planet that has the scales of justice, but we also look at Libra as the scales of the marketplace. And so Libra always has business in mind, and so they're very skilled at operating business and having their own business. And usually the questions for Libra are about what kind of business should they get into. And sales and creativity, Libra, are always good indicators of your nature. Scorpio is ruled by Mars. And Scorpio, you're very watery and sensual, mysterious, very misunderstood. Remember that the scorpion carries medicine as well as it carries the poison. Most of the time, there's a lot of self-worth that the Scorpio energy has to heal in this lifetime, in this incarnation. Ruled by Mars, it makes you really seek and almost pioneer into resolving and fixing things. Mars is about the warrior that fixes things and helps. And so Scorpio, you have a very humanitarian nature to you that wants to find out the mysteries of life and evolve and really work towards your spiritual migration, and wanting to really perfect the path of practice for yourself. Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter, which is the guru planet, the planet of wisdom, the planet of prosperity, and Jupiter blesses everything that it touches. Sagittarius's ambition and its one-pointed focus allows you to travel the world and to bring knowledge, and so there's a lot of teaching skills within the Sagittarius as well as goal setting. Sagittarius, I advise you that when you come in for a reading, you may want to have your list of goals set, and then also make a list of all the things that you are great at and the things of and the areas that you would like to improve on. And when you come in for a reading, really listen to the areas that you need to strengthen in your chart so that your goals actually become much more developed when you start planning towards them. When you understand what you need to improve and have the rituals and the ceremonies present to help you improve those things, your goals actually become more attained. Capricorn, it's interesting, in Vedic astrology, we consider you not a goat, but actually a crocodile. And so Capricorn, its ambitious nature is still there. You are definitely ruled by Saturn, which is hardworking, and Saturn is a planet of karma and life lessons. This is why Capricorns can tend to be a little bit sarcastic and cynical in their humor, and Capricorn is also that planet that really has that hidden esoteric science behind its nature. And one of the things for Capricorn is that sometimes your ambition can blind you into looking for what it is that you really are looking for, which is a confirmation that you are safe and that you are going to attain that prosperity that you're looking for in life. Aquarius is also ruled by Saturn, and which is a little different than Western astrology. And Saturn is, again, that planet that is the lord of karma, the lord of death, the lord of time. And Saturn is a planet that loves to bring us to our knees to learn life lessons. And Capricorn and Aquarius always tends to work very, very hard on their personal and spiritual evolution, but also working hard on the material and the spiritual simultaneously. For Aquarius, being the humanitarian nature that Aquarius is in its air-like quality, it is very good for you to be aware of working towards your personal evolution and spending time and to give back to yourself, because you can spend so much time helping in your selfless service to others. Pisces, you're ruled by Jupiter, and you are the mystic, you are the seer, you are the sensual aspirant that wants evolution of the soul. But also, Pisces, you can get entangled with your own intuitive and psychic nature. And so ruled by Jupiter means that you are also a teacher and you're also a healer, and very important to make time for yourself to explore all of these qualities and not to get confused. Pisces are generally confused in their decision making, and sometimes it's really important to hear what are all the different skill sets that you have, but also other people's opinions on what your path is and what is meant for you to do. Sometimes a Piscean can get confused about their direction in life. Remember, one fish goes one way and the other fish goes the other way. And so sometimes you're internally torn between two things. You're also a dual sign. One thing to know is that just because you are one sign in Western astrology doesn't mean that that is going to be your ascendant in Vedic astrology. To determine your ascendant, we need your time of birth, your date of birth, and your place of birth. That will reveal to us the rising sign that was determined at the time of your birth. As you were coming out of your mother's womb, we take a snapshot of the sky, and whatever was ascending in the first house of the zodiac, we consider that your ascendant. So sometimes, for example, with myself, I was born February 9th, making me an Aquarius, but because I was born in Uruguay, South America, at 10:15 a.m., at a specific date and time, location, the ascendant was actually that was rising was Pisces. So my ascendant in Vedic astrology is Pisces, because Pisces is sitting in my first house. We have 12 houses in the zodiac, and each of the signs are placed in one of the houses at the time of your birth. That sort of maps out your karma, maps out your cosmic anatomy for us. So we really pay attention to the first house, which is where your ascendant sits. Now that we've discussed the signs, let us take a look further at what the meaning of Jyotisha is. So Jyotisha can mean different things in Sanskrit. Jyoti, meaning light or candle flame, is a symbol of light as a sacred principle of life. Life is light. This light that shines down on us from heaven can guide us, banish darkness, dispel ignorance, and reveal wisdom. We have celestial bodies. Understanding our celestial consciousness can free us from continual suffering. Our soul journeys from experiences after experiences, collecting pain and suffering, misunderstandings and illusions that confuse us. As a soul migrates lifetime after lifetime, all life lessons get printed into our cells. This is known as cellular memory. When we experience things that causes pain and suffering, we eventually become detached. In this detachment, we shed the past and give up those things that keep hurting us. Our soul evolves out of repetitive cycles, and we feel purified. During hard times in life, it is best to keep calm and to sit in witness of our suffering. By watching the patterns and paying attention to where the pain is taking us, we can heal deep levels of our consciousness. Jyotisha gives us that way. This Vedic way of self-discovery helps us to understand our inborn, innate self. The concept of destiny reveals itself as a customized map. Every person's destiny is slowly revealed through the astrological houses of our natal chart, as we discussed. Not only can we discover our individual archetypal identity, or what's known as the Dharma types, but our own unique myth. Our ancestors and ancient mystics understood the importance of the signs of the soul, our personal myth, and the concept of karma. The Vedic seers condensed layers of universal and natural wisdom into profound categories. The language of the four aims of life can help us move closer to discovering our own Dharma type. The chart reveals our cosmic makeup and tells us the natural tendencies that we lean towards. So these four aims of life are: number one, Dharma, meaning our righteous path, our correct actions, our duty to others, to ourselves and our community, our spiritual path and identity. The Dharma of a person is revealed in the first house of that chart, as well as the fifth and the ninth houses. With the different placements of planets and signs, along the aspects and yogas and dignity of the planets, your Dharmic life experience is revealed. Second, the second aim of life is Artha, meaning the accumulation of material successes in life. It represents our practical material purpose in life, like our work, our career, our money relationships, and our financial karmas. We look for all of this in the second house of the zodiac, pertaining to health, our family, all that is traditional and valuable to us. The second house is where we find our values and our traditions. We look at the 10th house of career and the 6th house of work and service. Depending on what planets are there, this can tell us a lot about how you will earn and receive your material status in this lifetime. Number 3 is Kama. And Kama is the third aim of life, and it represents our passions and desires. All the things that we need to bring peace and happiness in our lives, our sexual needs, and our deep search for pleasure. The third house of willpower and effort tells us a lot about our passions in life, and in the seventh house, we find how it expresses itself with our spouse and all other relationships that we have. The 11th house tells us how we bring our passions out into the world, our community, and our friendships. The fourth aim of life is moksha. Moksha means liberation, and this is the final purpose. When the soul realizes there is no real happiness in this material world, and the deepest pleasure is to attain a higher consciousness, a union with our beloved divinity, God, our higher self, this is where we find that liberation. Liberation out of our pain and suffering. The fourth house, eighth house, and 12th house reveal all of our emotional evolution and the areas that we still need to heal and become detached in so that we break the cycles of that pain and suffering. Once we understand the four aims of life, we can see our natural destiny. We see that people who search for the meaning of life through Dharma or the Dharma walks find themselves having the nature of the educator type. People who teach or guide others, even a guru, one who helps those get out of that suffering. By teaching philosophy, by religious practices, mythology, interests in psychology or other medical professions that bring healing and elevate or evolve our suffering and out of our suffering and bring spiritual wisdom and good counsel. So these are known as that educator type that follow that Dharma. The merchant types rule the commerce world, and they are business-minded souls who create opportunities for material security and wealth. The trade industry, salespeople, marketing, these are the merchant types, and they're entrepreneurs and the pioneers in our society that achieve and conquer. The gift is in knowing how to provide materially for their families and who create this industrial revolution to keep working. Have you ever met a spiritual warrior or even a person who emanates justice, a protective duty to society? This is your warrior type. And this is all about protecting. The warrior types have mastered their bodies and mind to serve humanity and to bring justice and order from people that work in firearms or police officers, martial artists, athletes, lawyers, judges, people in armed forces or politics, doctors, traditional leaders, and kings even of ancient times. You see this natural nature in young children. You can always tell which child has a natural strength, a sense of leadership. The one who takes control, orders the others around, and protects the weak. This is your spiritual warrior type. It takes great discipline to master the body and mind, and great love to then offer oneself for the safety and protection of others. This is what the warrior class does, or the warrior tendency. The laborer type is all about serving others. The laborer type serves with devotion and care, working to bring happiness and love to all those that they care for. Laborer types, the work, the service type of person, is a community builder. Service people bring people together. They help others to serve a cause or just gather over a healing meal. That service type of personality or that Dharma type of the laborer excels at bringing people together. There is a natural mutual skill in craftsmanship, like an artisan or a builder or carpenter. Even the greatest chefs are known as the service types or in the service trades. Manual labor can identify this type of Dharma. We simply and slowly are building a picture of your unique typology. First, we understand that we are an elemental being, and that each of us has qualities and characteristics of the elements of space, air, fire, water, and earth. Next, we understood and understand now that we have an innate destiny, that of a Dharma type. Once we study the placements of the planets that influence our cosmic anatomy, like the position of the moon, representing the nature of our emotional mind, and Mercury to tell us about our intellectual mind, we can understand how we think. What kind of thinking leads to certain behaviors, and that those behaviors have cyclic patterns, and these repetitive patterns are the cause and effect of our karmas. Let's talk a little bit about karma. The topic of karma is a long one. And in the chart, we examine this type of karma, the karmas that you're born into and with. There are three layers of karma that we can look in and identify clearly in a chart. Therefore, by gathering all of this insightful knowledge of the self, one can understand our true nature and our true destiny and stop the suffering, liberate ourselves from the suffering, and change our behaviors. By changing the behaviors that cause us the suffering, we learn to love and accept ourselves, and that true love and acceptance brings peace. Vedic astrology offers that map. In our next session, we will speak of how the journey of this life has manifested and etched itself on our faces. Stay tuned in and learn more about face readings. And to book your karmic life reading, call us at 416-504-6049 or email us at info@ayurvedictouch.com.